Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, join me on your feet just for a moment. Let's just kind of open up this time with just a season of worship. How many of you are grateful to be together today? How many of you are grateful to be in the house today? In fact, how many of you are grateful to be anywhere today? I'm just glad to be alive. Amen? Come on, let's lift up our voices. Father, we worship you. Come on, we glorify you. With the fruit of our lips, Lord, we give you praise, honor, thanksgiving. Lord God, we thank you for your blessings, Lord God. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your loving kindness, Lord God. Each of us, Lord God, have a testimony. And so right now, Lord God, we lift our voices with jubilation. We lift our voices, Lord God, in worship. We thank you, God. We praise you, Father. We honor you. We adore you, Lord God. We recognize you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Alpha and Omega, as the beginning and the end, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God, Father. And so right now we focus our attention. We focus, Lord, our minds, our hearts are set to honor you, to worship you. It's not about us. It's all about you, Father God. And so right now we devoid ourselves from all the trappings and the trimmings, Lord God. And we center in on your glory right now, Lord God. You alone deserve the glory, deserve the honor, deserve praise, Lord God. You alone, Lord God, deserve to be lifted up high. And so, God, with one mighty voice, we lift our voice to magnify you, to worship you, God, to give you praise, to give you honor, to give you glory. Be pleased to show yourself mighty in this moment, Lord God. We wait with great anticipation for an outpouring of your fire, of your presence, Lord God. Move on us. Sweep over this room, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. A fresh wind now, Lord God. Blow a fresh wind now, Lord God. Invade us in this moment with your presence. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Lift your voice, give God a shout in here. Come on. Lift your voice, give God a shout in here. Lift your voice, give God a shout in here. Bless the name of Jesus. We came to celebrate him, right? Come on, bless the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. My God, we God bless you. Have a seat. We're just so honored to be in the presence of the body of Christ. And certainly, I'm gonna tell you, this is difficult. I was flying in, and as we began to descend, I had a glimpse of the Cayman Islands from a 30,000 foot level, from a 20,000 foot level. I don't know how y'all focus on anything out here. This is the most beautiful place I've ever been in my life. The water is so clean. I'm from LA. We got all kind of stuff in our water. There's bodies floating in our water. It's all kind. Come here, the water's clean. Just looks so bright and so clean. I don't want to preach. I want to lay out on the beach. I got up this morning and walked out into the little living room area there, and it was just beach. All I could see outside the window was beach. Y'all did that on purpose. It's unfair. I can't focus. I'm a simple man. It's hard to focus. And I just looked out, and it's just beach and sand and white beach. Oh, God, this is a beautiful place. And everybody's so nice, unusually nice. You know, you leave Los Angeles, and I love L.A. Don't get me wrong, I love L.A. But, you know, we can kind of be a little too uptight. Coming to an island is a different disposition. Y'all ain't got no problems out here. There's just no issues. It just seem like you're just too happy. I'm trying to figure out, y'all pay taxes? Well, I mean, I don't understand. Are there no taxes out here? This is crazy. What is it? It's a magnificent, magnificent place. So thank you so much for having us. Me and my wife, Adrian, just come on really quickly. Stand up, Adrian. Let the folks see you. My wife is beautiful. She has other characteristics too, but she's fine. That's good enough for me. So I praise God for her traveling with me. Normally, one of the brothers will travel with me, but we were coming to an island, so she took his place. Normally, we have an armor bearer who travels, but not when it goes stuff like this. She's like, no, I'll carry your bag, baby. You can. So good to be here, and I'm so grateful to all the pastors that are here, Pastor Pagera, and there's so many. Oh, I got a list right here, praise God. I can name them all. Pastor Rose, Pastor French, Pastor Ebanks, Pastor Pagera, and Pastor Miles. Can you just celebrate the pastors on this great island? Come on. We praise God for each of you, and thank you for your hospitality. And Sister Margie was corresponding with our office. Praise God. I don't see her right now, but praise God for her. And I'm just, so she's still handling business. So she never stops working. Amen. Amen. You need to give her a vacation. But where would you send her? You're in the best place on earth. Right? Amen. So we're gonna spend just a few minutes. In fact, we're gonna spend the next few days talking about faith. And I was so excited. My secretary told me that your topic, your focus for the week was faith, and that excites me. It's my favorite subject. I love to talk about faith. I teach in our home that faith is the currency of the kingdom. There are no transactions that take place in the kingdom of God without faith. We can't do anything without faith. Scripture is clear that the just live by faith, that we walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, the Word of God shows us that it's faith that are common. In fact, it even says that by faith the worlds were created. Even God operated in faith. When He called forth for existence to manifest, it was done through the Word of God by faith. And so everything that happens, everything that will happen, hear what I'm saying, child of God, in your life, if you're going to have any level of significance in the kingdom of God, is going to be by faith. If you're going to walk with unusual power, if you're going to be able to fight the wiles of the enemy, if you're going to be able to take this island, it's going to happen by faith. That makes sense to you. And so many of us have to recognize that kind of the bedrock, what kind of starts the party is an accurate understanding of faith, how faith operates, how faith works. Now, in fact, in your life, I don't have to spend too much time because you know that you've come this far by faith. When you look at your family, look at your finance, look at your business, look at this church and the churches on this island, you know that everything that's happened so far has happened by faith. You are a testimony of faith. Some of you have been healed by faith. Are there any witnesses in the building? Some of you have been delivered by faith. But let's just say you haven't been healed, you haven't been delivered, you haven't been set free. All of you have been saved by faith. My God, it is faith that saved you when you confessed that He was Lord. It was faith that brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. But we have to recognize that God wants us to move from faith to faith. It's in our lives, we are incrementally. Faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the larger it gets. In fact, if you can have faith on this level, then it moves you to a place of having faith for the next thing that God wants to introduce you to. My God, we're going to get in a minute. See, many of us don't understand, and I'm not talking about other people in L.A., not y'all. They don't understand that in order for you to move into a new dimension or a higher place in the things of God, you have to exercise faith in the place you are right now. That making sense to you? I mean, in your life today, are you exercising faith in what you're doing now? You can't believe for more if you won't walk in faith in now. And so the Spirit of God is trying to show us that as we move in faith today, as we focus our attention on walking in faith, we'll find ourselves incrementally going from level to level, to new dimensions, to new places. I don't know about you, but I want more. I want to go higher. I want to see more. I want to do more. I want to reach more. I'm not satisfied. I believe there's always more we can do, more places we can go, higher places, deeper places. And the body of Christ has to understand that God wants to unleash you into new things, wants to take you to new places, wants to unleash you into new dimensions, but all of that's going to happen by faith. Is there a witness in the building? So what I'm going to do today, just to open up the dialogue, I want to kind of talk about the road to faith. In my opinion, there's a road to faith. There are steps, there are elements, there are incremental elements that lead to faith. None of us came to faith or understand faith at the moment that we approach it, but there are several things that come before faith, and I want to kind of take you through those things that lead to faith. Go very quickly to Hebrews 11. I'm going to be in a couple of passages today, but let's go to Hebrews 11, and I'm going to read verses 1, I believe, through 3, or 1 through 4. Hebrews 11, here's what the Word of God says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained
a good testimony or a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made from things which are visible. Now, let's park just for a moment. Let me talk about a few of the steps as it relates to faith. The first step, as it relates to getting to the point of faith, the first step is relationship. Let me explain what I mean. You cannot walk in faith without having relationship. Faith in faith is not good enough. Part of the problem that we see, particularly in some progressive theological movements, is that faith has sometimes been characterized, I think, maliciously as incantation. In other words, if you just say a set of words, if you just kind of confess a certain thing, if you know the right steps or know the right attributes to your conversation, you can somehow enact some reality based on just saying things, based on, you know how these books, 12 steps to this and 7 steps to that and 4 movements to this. And so sometimes it becomes devoid of the person of Jesus Christ. And let me just start by saying, faith in faith is not good enough. But faith begins, the impetus, the moment, that first step of faith starts in a relationship with God Almighty. I don't have faith in faith. I don't just have faith amiss, but I have faith in God. I'm not believing for a thing outside of the context of a relationship with God Almighty, but it is the relationship that I have with God that puts me in position to walk by faith. And many people, and I don't mean this in a condescending way, but many people who can't walk in faith, who can't believe for miracles, who can't believe for new dimensions, who can't believe for more territory, the problem is not faith, the problem is relationship. Because when you have relationship, you understand that everything begins with God, who He is, His word, and His disposition. And too often we move past the person of God just into the rudiments or the activity of faith conversations, but we have not stopped to say everything begins with God Almighty. Everything starts with the Father. I exist to bring Him glory. I exist to bring Him worship. There's nothing that I will ever, can you hear me, body of Christ? It's not about me having more stuff or doing more things or just seeing miracles for the act of being able to say that we did miracles or we saw healing or we saw grace. It's not about just the things. It's not just about the stuff, but the stuff comes because it's the will of God to see the stuff happen in the earth. Is there anybody here besides me? We have to stop getting so lost in the trimmings and the trappings in the conversation and all the things that we think are faith and take a step back and say, God, what is your will? God, what is your desire? God, what are you saying in the earth? You sense what I'm saying? So we understand relation. We understand some elements about God. Here's number one. We understand His ability. The word of God says it was by faith that the worlds were framed. When you look at this great country, this great island, when you look at the sea, when you look at the sand, look at the trees, you look at the animals, when you look around and you survey all that God has done, it ought to make you take a step back and say, my God is good, my goodness. When you look at what He's done, His ability, what He's actually worked out, if you look back over your life and every testimony, look back over your life, every hurdle, every obstacle, every dark day, every difficult season that God brought. Is there anybody here that's been through some stuff, but God brought you through? Is there anybody here that walked in some difficult days, but God salvaged? Is there anybody here that can testify that you were lost like a ship without a sail, but a God that loved you, looked beyond your fault, and saw your need, and snatched you from the pit of hell, dusted you off, and put you on the right path? You can testify of the goodness of Jesus. You are looking at the ability of God. God is great and greatly to be praised. We spend so much time, my God, looking at great astronomers. We think about Newton and Hubble. We look at Sagan and we look at Copernicus and all of these great men who we give honor to, who have created devices to begin to survey all that God has done. Einstein and all the rest who have looked at how a creation has been brought into existence. Looked at rockets and looked at planets and began to explain the stars, and we have monuments set up to people who are observing what God did. Well, let me tell you something, child of God. If we're going to pay homage to people that can just look at what God did, how much more should we give God glory, the God who made what they're up? Is there anybody here that's grateful that you serve an amazing God? It's relationship, because it looks at God's ability. There's too much fear in the house of God. There's too much doubt in the house of God. There's too much unbelief in the house of God for us to serve the kind of God that literally stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. Is there anybody besides me in this building? When I think about how great he is, I hear the songwriter say, how great our God. When you think about how powerful he is, we have to take a moment. This is why sometimes faith doesn't work, because we don't take a moment to appreciate the grand nature of an amazing God, the God that created everything. But here's what I like, Pastor Miguel. He's the God that made it all over again, because I was made once, but I was a wretch undone, marred by life, soiled by life. But God saw me, and not only did he make me the first time, but I serve a God that made me all over again. Is there anybody here that can testify to an amazing God? I'm almost done. Here's number two. It's not just his ability, but it's his credibility. See, when it starts with relationship, we don't just focus on his ability, but we focus on his credibility. We focus on a God, watch this, that keeps his promises. This is major. I need you to get this. It's not so much that we don't believe that God can. The problem sometimes, we don't believe that God will do it for us. It's not so much that we doubt the ability of God. Now watch this. But sometimes it's the notion that we don't know what God promised he'd do in the first place. All right, you don't believe me? Go to Romans 10 and 17. I want to show you something. Are you still in the building? Watch what he says. Romans 10 and 17. In fact, let's go back to 14. That's a better context. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, the Lord, who has believed our report? Watch this, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now I need you to watch this. What the writer is showing us in this text is that faith comes out of relationship, but it comes with the subtext of the word of God that is given to us. What he's saying is this: I'm so much God, hear what I'm saying, I'm so much God, I have the power to do what I said I'm going to do, but I'm going to keep my covenant and do it. But if you don't know what I said, if you never got into the book to understand the promises that I've made to you, you can't place a demand on the word of God in your life, because you don't know what the word of God has said about your life. And so many folk, hear what I'm saying. I don't believe that we ought to just be naming and claiming and grabbing everything that our imagination comes up with. But that doesn't bother me as much as that the people of God don't understand what God has promised them, so they can't take God at his word. So many of us are living beneath our privilege, living beneath our right, living beneath what God has ordained for us, simply because we've never searched the scriptures or heard the word of God to unlock inside of us an expectation to see God do what he said he was going to do. Are you sensing what I'm saying? So it's not just his ability that we focus on, but it's his credibility. When you're in relationship, you have the opportunity to try him for yourself and see him do a great work in your life. Are there any people here that have tried God for themselves? That you tried him on, not what the preacher said, it's not what the Sunday school teacher said, it's not what the bishop said, but you walked through a season when you had to search the scriptures to see what God was saying to you, and you took him at his word, and you proved him to be just as faithful now as he was in days of old. Yeah, I know what he did for Abraham. I know what he did for Isaac. I know what he did for Jacob. I read what he did for Noah. I know what he did for Moses. I know what he did for Job, but I tried him for myself. I know what he did for Gideon. I know what he did for Rahab, but I tried him for myself, and I proved him to be a faithful God. When you have a relationship with God, you can trust his credibility. All right, now here's number two. You still taking notes? Number two is this. Not only do we start at relationship, but then we move to revelation. We move from relationship to revelation. Because you cannot be in relationship with God and he not show you something. Hear what I'm saying? You cannot be in relationship with God and him not show you something. Whenever God enters into relationship with the body of Christ, he always shows something. He gives a vision. He gives an idea. He begins to set a framework for you to see something different than you've ever seen before. You follow what I'm saying? When you look at the word of God and we look at the men of old, we look at Moses and the children of Israel, before he released them into the Canaan land, he first sent some people because he wanted to show them what he had for them. And in your life, many of us, and hear what I'm saying, body of Christ, many of us suffer from not seeing what God says. The word in 10:17 or 10:14, talk about the fact, it says, how can they call on him who they have not believed? How are they going to believe in whom they have not heard? In every season of life, the Spirit of God is attempting to show or reveal. Now watch this. You look at Jesus. Now John the Baptist is the one who said of Jesus that he is the Messiah. He is the coming one. He is the Christ. But then when John the Baptist finds himself in that prison, about to lose his head, he calls for his disciples and says, now go find Jesus and ask him, is he the one or shall we look for another? In that moment, though John knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was sitting in the prison trying to figure out how come all the good stuff is happening out there and I'm dying in here. And it began to tamper with his faith. He began to lose heart. He began to look at his circumstance and find it difficult to believe God. Now, what I love this. When they get to Jesus and ask him the question, watch this. I love Jesus because he really is a lot more, in my opinion, sarcastic than we give him credit for. When they ask him the question, Jesus answers not a word. Don't you love that? They were talking to Jesus. He didn't say a word. He begins to heal, set free, deliver, cast out demons. It's as if after they ask him the question, he said, oh, you got a question? Let me show you something. He begins to do miracle after miracle. Now watch this. Then he says this, go tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. John, your faith is failing. John, you're having a difficult season. You're starting to walk in doubt. I'm not going to give you theology right now, my God. I'm not going to preach to you right now. I'm not going to teach you right now. I'm not going to put you in a Sunday school class. I'm not going to do any of that. No, I'm going to show you the miraculous hand of God, and I want you to see what I'm doing. I need you to catch this. God is saying to us, I might get in trouble, but I'm going to finish this week, and then you don't have to bring me back no more, but I'm going to do this week. I got some stuff to say this week. And after that, some of us are spending too much time trying to convince people of stuff we need to show them. We have problems in our land, problems in our communities, problems in our churches, and we think that if we talk more, it's going to fix the problem. We think if we teach more, it's going to fix the problem. If we have more revivals, if we have more Sunday school classes, if we have more Bible studies, that somehow the devil's going back up. No, 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 child of God. You got to see something. People need to, if you want to see this island change, show this world something. Show them the displayed power of God. God, when he moves from relationships, he shows you revelation. He opens your eyes to see some aspect of him you've never seen before. And many of us, hear what I'm saying, body of Christ, many of us cannot walk in faith because we ain't never seen nothing. Hear the word of God today. God wants to do a new work in this community, in this fellowship, in these churches. He wants to reveal something to this earth. I promise you, this island will be revolutionized when the people of God begin to see something. Want to see the power of God displayed. Want to see the manifold blessings of God. Want to see his power demonstrated, not just in the church, but in the marketplace. God is saying he wants blind eyes opened up. He wants bodies healed. He wants marriages repaired. And it doesn't have to be at the altar in the sanctuary. But you ought to walk into the bank and declare the power of God. You ought to walk into the school and declare the power of God. Everywhere you go, there's power that travels with you. And every time you lift your hands and you pray the prayer of faith, there ought to be a demonstration of the Almighty God. And is there anybody here that wants to see something? Bless the name of Jesus. Tired of fighting battle. Word of God says that Paul, he talks about it in another passage, but we see it in the book of Acts. So there's an open door, there's an effectual open door. I'm going to bless the open door. He's talking about the book of Acts. When he gets there and he begins to bless what God is doing, I can't call the chapter right now, because to bless what God is doing, and he's inside the church trying to display the kingdom of God. But church people are fighting him. He's trying to teach the kingdom, but the old guard is fighting him. He's trying to display the power of God, but folk who are stuck in their ways, oh, stiff-necked, cantankerous people, are trying to fight the demonstration of the power of God. Watch this. And so Paul had enough. So he drew a line in the church. Everybody that wants what I want, y'all come with me. And the word of God said they followed him out of the church, found a hall down the street. My God, went down the street and began to do great works, great signs, great wonders. And the word of God says very specifically that the whole town heard of the goodness and the glory of God. Can I tell you, let's let body of Christ stop staying in small spaces fighting with folk who don't want what you want. Stop arguing and complaining and being in unfruitful conversations about stuff that don't matter, but get into a place, say, God, I'm so much in relationship with you. God, I need a revelation of your glory, a revelation of your power, a revelation of your goodness. And when that happens, child of God, when you begin to walk the streets, people will begin to follow you, trying to see, how can I get some of what you got? Is there anybody here that wants more of the revelation of God? Bless the name of Jesus. Now watch this. I got 15 minutes. It moves, watch this, from relationship to revelation, from revelation, here it is, to expectation. Let me just sense this. Some of us don't get anything because we don't expect anything. When you're in relationship with the Father, it brings forth a revelation of his goodness and his glory. But when he shows you something, it begins to change your life, and then you start expecting something. Now watch this. This was 2010. Spirit of God began to deal with me, to call me closer to him. I didn't understand. I was having a conversation, and many of you know, if you're in the church, you've heard a lot of things over and over again. I've grown up in the church my entire life. As they said, I start preaching at 16, was on staff with my father all that time. Several years ago, left LA, moved to Atlanta, planted a church, ended up coming back. So I've been churched. Sometimes a little churched out. You know, you just sometimes, I know we don't believe that, but I'm gonna tell you, you can get churched out. You can, you know, all the cliches, all the words, you know, you just know it. It's just, oh, yeah, I know, yeah. You can start finishing people's sentences, all right? I'm blessed and highly favored. I get it, right? You can get churched out. Spirit of God began to say he wanted to show me something more. He wanted more of me. I was very good at doing the things that were expected as it relates to functioning in the church. I was good. I knew how to chair a service. I knew how to preach the gospel. I knew how to say the right thing. I knew how to do the right thing. I knew it all. I knew it. I knew how to do it almost effortlessly. I just knew how to do it. I grew up watching it. I knew what phrases excited people. I knew what, and y'all don't believe, but I could do it if I want to right now. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm telling the truth. I'm by myself. I just knew how to do it. You grow up seeing it, you know how people think, how they're moved, what settles them down, what gets them up. I can get y'all up running around if I wanted to. I just know how to do it. I just learn how to do it, right? Spirit of God began to say that all that stuff, I want more of you. I want more relationship. I want to show you something. See, you satisfied with this stuff. I want to show you something different. He began to call me close to himself. He began to really, I had a conversation with a buddy. He said, Jeremy, what the Spirit of God is saying is that you've been trying to do this on your own. You've been trying to live right on your own. You've been trying to work and act right on your own. He's saying, let me do it. There's a rest in him that you haven't adopted. He's saying you got to devoid yourself of all of the things that are keeping you from resting in him. He wants you to come closer. And so I just began to do that, and I just went into a season of unusual worship and fasting and praying, and just the relationship just got so, it was amazing. Now, here's the thing. Hear what I'm saying when I say this. I feel like God was tricking me because he wasn't telling me what was going to come next. He just told me what he wanted now. Can I just say something really quickly, parenthetically, that God wants you to do what's now before he tells you what's next. Some of you are trying to figure out what's next. Guys, don't worry about what's next. Do what I said now. That's just in a box. We'll do that later. So he began to call me close in relationship. After I got all mushy toward God and my heart was open, I'm like, God, do what you want to do. Say what you want to, lead me, guide me. He says, okay, pack your family and your things and move across country. I was not expecting to hear that. So I packed my family, me, my wife, my four kids. I've never lived anywhere else, had no desire to live anywhere else, was satisfied, had a nice job, getting paid very well, owned my own house, everything was fine, and God said, okay, I want you to leave your dad and this church, I want you to go across country and plant a church. Our church at the time, and right around our church in LA, we see probably somewhere 1,800 to, you know, roughly people every week. And God took me from that and then to a church where my first Sunday, there were about seven adults. Because God was trying to show me something. Heart was open. I said, God, do what you tell me to do. I'll go where you tell me to go. God said, good. Drove across country, moved to Atlanta. Got to Atlanta and began to just dig out of work. I had a sound system that was two speakers and a mixer. Had a little piano. Me and my wife went. We had a good friend that joined us. And so we did praise and worship. I played the piano, and I'm not that good. I'm not saying like I'm really not that good. I played the piano. My wife sang. A friend sang. There were some Sundays we were singing to our own kids. I'm not joking. There's one Sunday in particular, we started serving with nobody there. And we just started to pray. And we praying in the service, and it just, we went around the circle. We had rented a little small theater. We were praying, was nobody there. And after we got done praying, it was like a herd of horses, about 25 foot, walked in the door. They were all just late to church. Wasn't nothing miraculous, they just late to church. But God wanted to show me something. So I'm in Atlanta, and there's a church that's in Atlanta called North Point Community Church. It's Pastor Andy Stanley. While I was there, I visited his church for the first time, walked through the doors, I was ruined, absolutely amazed. They were doing church like I had never seen before. He really, though his father's a pastor, maybe Pastor Charles Stanley, he really got what he was doing from a pastor named Bill Hybels, who was doing church for the unchurched. I've got 9 minutes, give me a second. So as he began to do his ministry, what we understood was that church had to look differently. And I walked in, I was amazed. Church was amazingly different. Their children's ministry was excellent. They had 1,000 kids in children's ministry. Their children's area looked like Disneyland, literally. Their worship was full. It was such power. And here's the thing. Most people will say churches that grow really big, you know, somehow compromise the truth. They don't really preach the hard gospel. That's why so many people come. And so I kind of bought into, you know, that, you know, all these big churches are they're phoning it in. It's not real. But after the worship was amazing, they had lights and sound and music, and it was amazing. Then the man of God got up and preached, and he preached a hard gospel. He preached on sin, and he preached on salvation. He preached a real, and I left that place almost in tears, because it was the first time I had seen what I had always thought could be true. We talked about it in small groups. I had shared my vision with my wife. I had shared it with other people. I had never seen anyone do it before. And for the first time in my life, God had given me relationship. Now he'd given me revelation, because he took me to a place that he wanted to show me something. And he showed me that big place. They have 35,000 members spread over 5 churches. And after I got done with that, I went back to my church. My church was still about 7 or 8 people. Grew to about maybe 20 people. Grew to about 35 people. On a really, really, really good Sunday when we was blessing babies, maybe had 50 people. That was a good Sunday. That was a really, really, really once or twice good Sunday. But I had seen something that had ruined me. And so what I was experiencing, I knew was not the end. Because I had a new level of expectation about what God could do. So we kept going, and we kept ministering, and we would talk, and we saw something bigger. We saw something greater. We saw something more developed. We saw it. We just had it was an unsettling expectation. We were content with what God was doing. We weren't rushing God. We weren't mad at God. We weren't cursing where we were right now. We weren't damning the moment. We knew that the Spirit of God had to progressively do something in our lives, so we were patient, but we were restless. We were just, Lord, I know there's more. I know it's deeper. I know there's more we can reach and more we can do, and we kept sensing somewhere deep inside of us that God was trying to do something greater. He was showing us all these ministries and showing us all these things. This church that I talked about, on a Sunday morning, 40% or more of the congregation are unbelievers. He's calling to church all the people that we said we were supposed to go reach. I had never seen it before, but now I had an expectation. Subsequently, my father died suddenly on an airplane headed to Chicago, Illinois, and the church called me back to pastor the church. And now back in Los Angeles, some of the stuff that God showed me in Atlanta, some of the things that he had showed me when I was in that little bitty church, God is beginning to unfold and unleash. I begin to cast vision, and people are saying to the church, wait, what are we doing? We're moving so fast. How's it? It's because it didn't start right here. I have an expectation. There's something God showed me a year ago that now he's unleashing in my life now. And so I'm walking by faith and moving by faith and doing things now we've never done before. We're seeing growth like we've never seen before. People are coming from all over, all types of people. We're blessing around the world. People in China, in Nairobi, people in Abu Dhabi, all over the world are watching our ministry. Why? Because God showed me something and I had an expectation. Now watch this. When you have expectation of what God wants to do, everything you currently see is unacceptable. And did you hear what I'm saying? When God gives you a spirit of expectation, when you look around at what you're dealing with now, it becomes unacceptable. The Bible talks about Elijah and the servant when he said there's going to become rain, and he kept sending the servant out to see the rain, and he ran out to see the rain, and he said there's no rain yet, and he came back, and Elijah went down and prayed some more, said go back and look again, and he went back again to see there, and there was no rain yet, and he came back and said, God, there's no rain. Elijah said, okay, I'm going to pray some more, and he said, go on back and look again. What was happening right there is that Elijah had decided that God put expectation in his heart. And so as long as there was no rain, he was unsatisfied. As long as there was no rain, he was unsettled. He said, I'm going to keep sending this boy back to look for rain until I see what God said. And body of Christ, you have to have a spirit of expectation. If God said there's going to be miracles, keep on praying until you see miracles. If God said there's breakthrough coming, keep on praying. praying until you see breakthrough. If God said that people are going to be delivered and set free and brought to God, keep on pushing, keep on reaching. Become so expectant that you won't settle for anything else. And then at some point, the word of God said Elijah's servant went out. He said, all I see is a cloud the size of a man's fist. Elijah, that's it. We got rain. Body of Christ, God is saying to you that God is taking from relationship to revelation to expectation, because God is saying, I don't want you to settle. I don't want you to be relaxed. I don't want you to get comfortable. You have come a long way. I've done a lot, but I haven't done all I want to do. I brought you this far by faith, but there's so much more I want to show you. So many more places I want to take you. I'm not done with you yet. Don't put on your seatbelt. Don't take off your shoe. Don't get relaxed, but get in a posture of expectation. My God, get in a posture. Your churches have to get in a posture of expectation. Your preacher has to be in a posture of expectation. Every one of you has to get in a posture of expectation, because God is saying, when you expect my move, that's when I move. When you're laid back and lackadaisical and you don't want more and you don't see more, I can't work with that. But I can work with someone that says, God, I may not see it. God, it hasn't happened yet, but I'm ready. God, I've fixed my posture. I've fixed my mind. I've fixed my heart to see a display of the power of God in the earth. Bless the name of Jesus. Spirit of God is saying in this house, you need more relationship. He wants a closer one. You're saying, I'm pretty close. God said, come on a little bit closer. Been saved 60 years. That's good. Come on. I got something else to show you in the next 20. God is saying to you, he wants more relationship. God is saying to you, when you have a deeper, closer relationship, hear what I'm saying. It's so easy to know all the rituals and the formalities and know all of the pieces and the places so that it becomes rote and unfamiliar, and it becomes just some natural progression. It's almost like you're on autopilot. We don't search for him anymore. You don't look for his power. You don't look for that intimacy anymore. And God is saying, please awaken from the slumber that comes along with being religious. If I ain't talking to you, I ain't talking to you. Don't get offended. I ain't talking to everybody. Spirit of God sent this word right now. He's saying, you've been too relaxed in the faith. You're too used to me. You know what the preacher's going to say. You know what the song's going to say. You know. You put on your clothes the same way. You sing the same songs. You do the same thing. You sit in the same pew every single day. Everything's the same. There's no expect. There's no relationship. There's nothing deep happening between you and me. Imagine a husband and wife, after some years of being together, just lose sometimes the fire. No more butterflies in the stomach. No more date nights. No more romance. It's just, oh, that's my wife. Oh, that's my husband. Call the old man and the old woman. That's my old man. Oh, that's my old woman. And everything is just, it's casual. It's just boring. You don't take her out anymore. You don't put on nothing nice for him anymore. I don't know why I'm talking about that. Put on something nice for your husband. Take your wife out somewhere you have never been before. I got 17 amens. That's good enough for me. I don't mind. I'm going to the beach when I leave here. I came for the beach. This preacher is the other part of this. God is saying the same thing. Stop being so disengaged. I want relationship. I want more. Why? Because there's something I want to show you. I want to show you something. You're worried about your family. Let me show you something. Worried about your kids. Let me show you something. Worried about your church. Let me show you. When you press in a relationship, that's something I want to show you. Then he says, when he shows it to you, he knows it's going to birth expectation. That the place he wants to take you, the place he shows you, becomes so compelling. Become so amazing that you'll say, you know what? This here has been nice, but in compared to where God is taking us, it's nothing. Because God is always doing a new thing. Those are the steps that lead to faith. From relationship to revelation to expectation, and then with expectation filling your lungs, you take a step of faith. And you begin to walk into everything God has predetermined for you to have. When it comes to your business, God is saying, there's something I want to show you. When it comes to your family, God said, there's something I want to show you. when it comes to your health, when it comes to your life, when it comes to everything that comes to your church, God said, there's something else I want to show you. Because when I show you this something else, when I show you this new thing, I know it's going to ruin you. When I left that church in Atlanta, Georgia, I was ruined. I knew I could never do ministry the same way again. I could never settle again. I could never be okay with just being half-baked and not walking in excellence and not expecting to see the fire and the power of God. I couldn't do it anymore. Now I expect miracles. Went back and there was a family. We had prayed while we were there for a family who was trying to get pregnant and laid our hands, and about a month later they were pregnant. Had been trying for a couple of years. Couldn't do it. Me and my wife prayed for the month later. They were pregnant. Went back to bless the baby that had come miraculously, and some other family were there, and they said, we want to have a baby too. Can you lay your hands on us? Because God had shown me that this time when I prayed, here's what I said. We prayed the prayer of faith. I said, now call me when you get pregnant. Because there's a level of expectation in my heart that when it comes to healing and deliverance and breakthrough and miracle, I fully expect to see a display of the power of God in the earth. Because he's shown me something, and having seen that, I can never go back again to letting the humdrum cares of this life tie me down and keep me in bondage to just letting life happen to me. Now I happen to life. I impose myself on every environment. Everything has to bend to the authority of Jesus Christ that lives and resides inside of me. Is that making sense to you? I want to bless you. Come on, stand for a moment. I want to bless this word in you, then I'll turn it over to whoever comes up next. I need to bless this word in you. You don't have to move, but if you stand and lift your hand and you're saying, Pastor, I agree. In this moment, I need more relationship. I want a revelation. I need more expectation because I want to walk in faith. That's huge. Lift your hand. Make it high. Know who I'm praying for. If you want that, now you don't have to raise your hand. No one's going to feel bad. I won't feel bad. You've given me so much already. Come on, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your people. This word has come and has found us. We all have been gathered around this word. This moment has been ordained. There was something you were trying to do, show, Lord God. And so right now, Father, it's with faith that we pursue you. We come boldly before your throne of grace, attaining mercy. God, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for your hand. We thank you for your word, Lord God. Now, God, we pray that you would grant us a closer walk with you. We don't need to walk with people. We don't need to walk with denominations. We need to walk with church. God, we need to walk with you. Help us to pursue you and you alone. Help us to pursue your power, pursue your presence, pursue your face, pursue, Lord God, your hand. God, help us just to crave you, to chase you, to love you, Lord God, to need you, God. Give us a deeper relationship with you. And then, God, open our eyes as you did for Elijah's servant that we may see. My God, you opened more blind eyes in the New Testament than any other miracle you did. And God, we're in desperate need of our eyes being opened. We need revelation, God. We've been looking at the same thing for so long. We've been bound by the same thoughts for so long. Our imagination has become dull and dumb, Lord God. But God, give us new revelation, Lord God. Open our eyes. Help us to behold the new thing that you're doing. Help us to see what you're trying to show us. And then, Lord God, give us expectation. Help us to expect more. Help us, Lord God, with our expectation to place a demand on your power. Show us, Lord God, that there's more that can be reached for you. More souls saved, more lives changed, more marriages healed, more bodies healed, Lord God, more minds regulated, more hearts fixed, Lord God, more relationships mended. Help us, Lord God, to expect to see more, to become dissatisfied with anything less than what you've shown us, that we may walk by faith. Every step we take, by faith. Every sermon we preach, by faith. Every song we sing, by faith. Every hand we lay on every body that needs a touch, Lord God, by faith. That we, Father God, will be a display of your power in the earth. I command it to be so in Jesus' name. Just rest on your fire of God. Just fall on your people right now in the name of Jesus. Just blow a wind of your glory right now on your people. We release favor. We release power, Lord God. We impart now the same anointing imparted unto us, Lord God. A display of your power will be released over your people, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now with a loud voice, come on, somebody shout amen. Amen. Come on, shout amen. Give God a praise in here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.